You know, as we pray for baby Sophia, and as you see the tragedies that went on this week around our country, man, we are reminded that life is fragile. We're reminded that life is, you know, like this roller coaster with these ups and these downs. And, you know, the news media is saying, where can we find hope? Well, our hope is in the Lord. The only hope. And the reason that the world keeps searching and looking is because they don't know the hope that we have in Jesus. The hope and the belief that we say, we as a group, as a united group, pray, Lord, for this healing. And we see the Lord answer. It might be hard if he answers no. It might be hard if he says, I love Sophia more and I want to take her home. I can't imagine that with one of my kids. But man, if he says yes to our prayers, man, he's faithful in the good and he's faithful in the bad. He's good all the time. And we have to have that rock solid belief and that foundation that Jesus Christ is our help and our refuge and our strength in all circumstances. Because guys, as we're going to learn today, man, the body is weak. Man, but the spirit is willing. We have to trust in the spirit that's inside of us. And as we dig into his word in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to discover that God cares about our bodies. He cares about who we are physically. And so many times in my life, I focus so much on the spiritual. You know, and I like to think about all the spiritual, I'll just neglect the body because the spiritual is so important. And God has been teaching me in the last couple of weeks how important it is to take care of our bodies so that we can serve him and glorify. I think God woke me up to this fact with what I call the fat tax. Because I got new health insurance, thanks Paul Valdez, got new health insurance and they charged me $80 a month because I'm fat. So I call it the fat tax. So apparently I didn't suck in enough when I took the measurements, or I didn't lie enough on the scale. They had a real nurse do it, which was one of my old youth, but I'm like, you can't lie for me. And apparently I'm at risk for things. And you know, I'm not the kind of guy that looks in the mirror very often. You could tell, just look at my hair. And so I just kind of get up and I'm like, whoo, let's go. But man, as I look and I look at my body, I'm thinking, man, I kind of let myself go. I mean, my job is to sit behind a computer and go meet people for lunch. I mean, that's a great job, but it's not great for the old waistline. And so the Lord has been waking me up into the reality that God actually cares about our body. He actually cares about the way that we take care of ourselves. And man, I'll tell you what, they brought some good food this morning. For setup team, there are some cinnamon French toast and some, and you still smell it if you sit over there close enough to Kevin. Man, and it was everything I could do to not say yes to that. But the fat tax is sitting out there in front of me. And so it's like this war between, man, do I want to just keep paying $80 more a month because I'm fat? Or do I want to control a little bit what I eat? And so we're going to talk today about this battle that rages inside of us between, man, doing what we want and doing what God called us to do. And so as you look at the scripture, you see the same kind of tension in the Corinthian church. It says this, starting in verse 12, and this is the verse that Jonathan ended on last week, and it kind of ties us in, it kind of links everything together, and it says this, all things are lawful for me. And it's in quotes, almost like this is the slogan that they were using to say, it's okay for me to do this sin. It says, all things are lawful for me. In other words, you're saying that I can't go do that? What? I have grace. All things are lawful for me. I can do anything that I want to do. I have the right in Christ to go do whatever I want to do. And they were using this slogan to basically give themselves license to sin. But Paul rebukes them. He gives them a teaching on it, one that we need to hear. Because, guys, we use slogans all the time. We may not use this one. We may not be like, well, babe, all things are lawful for me, so I want to have second helpings, right? We don't use that term, but we say stuff like this in our life whenever we don't do the things we're supposed to do. Man, I'm just so busy. I'm just so busy. I just don't have time to sit down with the Bible and do a Bible study. I'm just too busy. Or, you know, I just don't have time in my day for that. Truth be told, that's a lie. For me, it's a lie. I have time. You have time to get into God's word. I don't know if it's a sin. I was going to see if Jonathan could show it to me, like where it says that watching ESPN.com is a sin. But man, I tell you what, I spend some time on my ESPN.com. I can tell you, not a day goes by that I don't check ESPN.com and check the playoff scores or less in baseball season. I don't know why. Just not as exciting to me. But just check it for highlights or top tens or things like that. And I find time for the things that I want to do. And so why do we not want to do this more? And so he tells them, you know, all things are lawful for me is your slogan, but not all things are helpful. Not all things are beneficial. You know, that's one of the questions we should ask as we're doing an activity, as we're doing something, we're choosing, should I look at ESPN.com today? Is it helpful? Now, not is it helpful for me and my sports knowledge. Is it helpful to the kingdom of God that I watch highlights of the games last night or whatever? Is this action that I'm doing, yours may not be ESPN, maybe it's something else, but is this action helpful for me? And it goes on, it gives them another reason. But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Is the thing that we're about to do enslaving us? Like, the closest thing I have in my life to enslaving me is Dr. Pepper, all right? The closest thing that enslaves me and it awakens my desires is that just 23 flavors of yummy goodness that comes in a 44-ounce cup at Second Pack, right? 96 cents if you have a refillable cup. So you can see the evidence of my sin in my car. Now, I haven't had a Dr. Pepper in 2 weeks because of the fat tax, all right? So the fat tax, Dr. Pepper, woo, right? But I tell you what, my kids were like almost saying, how many of y'all gotten off of sodas before out there? Do you remember what that was like? I mean, it is my master because I've got headaches and my eyes are all fuzzy. And my kids are like, Dad, are you sure you don't want a Coke? You're yelling and screaming a lot lately. You're really grumpy. So I'm kind of weaning myself off. But no Dr. Pepper. But man, I tell you what, there's evidence in my car because happy hour, oh yeah, 2 to 4, right? Exact change for that one. Right? And if you get the receipt and call in, you get a free one. Huh. And then every time I go by Sacket Pack, I just wandered in there with my cup, right? And a dollar. And they're like, hey, Chris, I mean, you know you're addicted when the Sacket Pack people call you by your first name. Or like when they're there and they're like, oh, don't worry about that one because we know you'll be back in about 3 hours. That's when you know you're addicted to something. When they're first name basis, they know I'm barefoot and they don't care. They're like, we're getting lots of money from you. You're a good customer. Keep on coming, right? And it enslaved me. And you don't realize how much something enslaves you till you get off of it. You don't realize how beneficial I thought that was to my life, how it comforted me, how it gave me energy to work all hours of the night until you get off of it. And then you're like, I have to have real energy. Like, I can't just rely on that caffeine anymore. I can't just comfort myself with 2 straws and just yummy goodness. You have to realize when you get off of it that, man, there's got to be something else out there. My body is beginning to adjust a little bit to go, wait, there's something more out there. Now, I haven't quite got the water. I'm getting there. You know, I'm kind of in Propel range, so I'm kind of like near water. So I'm working my way down there to it. So you can keep praying for me in that. Tyler keeps giving me water in Propel bottles, you know? And so I'll get like little swallows like, oh, I know what you're doing over there. I'll tell a story about you later, all right? But man, all things are lawful, but they're not all beneficial. Do I have the right to drink Dr. Pepper? Sure. If I want to go to see heaven early, you know, and do that all I want to. But is it beneficial? Is it enslaving me? And the next one just hit me hard this week because I'm in the middle of all this struggle. And here's what it says. It says, food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food. And it's in quotes. And they were saying, hey, do you want seconds? Sure. Food's made for the stomach. Stomach's made for the food. Yes. Why would God let someone create those 23 delicious flavors if he didn't want me to drink it? Why would God give me such a great cook for a wife if she didn't want me to eat it? Of course I will. And we justify our sin. We say, of course I'll do that. God made it. So if it's good to taste, it's got to be good for that. And we start to realize, wait, what is our body really created for? Like, what is really, is there a purpose to it? Because if you keep looking, the very next sentence it says, and God will destroy both one and the other. God's going to destroy those things. You see, the things that you're so caught up in, Chris, are temporary things. They're not eternal things. You're caught up in doing these things that you enjoy right now. And you know what? That desire inside of you will give birth to sin. And sin will give birth to death. You have this desire that's inside of you, and you want this so bad. But God will destroy them. Spend your time on things that are eternal. Spend your time on getting to know me, because for all eternity, you're going to get to know me in greater depth. Spend your time with relationships, because those relationships are eternal. You get to share those. You get to bring people into my kingdom. That's eternal. Spend your time on those things, not on getting to know this world so well. And then he takes this, it feels like a twist in the scripture as you read it. Right? The body is not meant for sexual immorality before the Lord. You're like, whoa, I thought we were talking about food. And all of a sudden we jump into this sexual immorality. But did you see what it said? Your body is not meant for sexual immorality. Your body has a purpose. That purpose is to glorify God with your body. It's not meant for sexual morality. It's not meant for your own pleasures. God didn't give me this body so I could make myself happy. He gave me this body to glorify him. Am I glorifying God through my body and the way that I use it for his glory? Hey guys, you can use your body for the glory of God. You know, when I coached football, I had a special place with my quarterbacks because I could actually show them what I wanted them to do. In other words, I could tell them, hey, I want you to throw the 15-yard out route, right? I just want you to take 5 steps, boom, 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 take a side hitch, and boom, release. And I would go just like this, and I would get back there. It was fun for me to do anyway. But I would jump back there, boom, hitch, whew, throw the out route. Now, if I threw a dying duck out there, do you think they would stay focused? No, they would laugh at me, right? But if I throw a spiral, hit the guy on the money, they're like, Coach can't outdo me. Let's do this. And they're inspired. They're like, okay, you know how long it would take me to teach them things if I had to sit here and go, all right, I want you to take 5 steps backward. No, not that way. Turn your shoulders. No, not that way. Right? And I had to like, position them, like do it like this. But once they saw me, they were able to imitate me in doing that. And guys, we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. And the world wants to know how to be a Christian. They should be able to watch Jonathan. You're invited to watch Jonathan's life. You're invited to watch my life too, but especially his life, all right? And watch his life, and how does he live? Watch him. When you go into the grocery store and you find him there, something's wrong, okay? Because he doesn't like to go to the grocery store. But if you find him in the grocery store, watch him. You see him at the park. You're like, what is he like when he's not up here? How does he act? How can I be like that? Or not be like that in some instances? Right? We're supposed to be the imitators of Christ. And when people watch us, we say, well, I want to do this. I had a conversation just last week with someone like, man, this person I know, they always talk like Jonathan. It's like this like puppet. They keep repeating his stuff. Like, well, maybe they're being discipled by him. Maybe they're learning from them. And by the way, you talk a lot like me because I'm discipling you and I'm teaching you. We should be imitators of one another because, guys, our bodies were made with a purpose. And that's to glorify God. It's not for sexual morality. Now, why would he pick sexual morality? It's almost like he lives in our culture where sexual morality is in our face everywhere that we go. I mean, we can't go to the grocery store. We can't go on TV. We can't even go on the internet, even on good sites, without seeing ads that pop up all over that lead us towards this idea of sexual morality. And as we see right here, God kind of rewrites the book using this idea of sexual morality with them. And here's what he says. The body was not meant for sexual morality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Remember how he said, food is for the stomach, his stomach's for food. He's like, wait. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. I created you. I breathed life into you to glorify me with your body. And your body is, and he's fixing to tell us, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to come live inside of you and use your body for my glory. Don't resist that. Don't explain that away. And then he digs even deeper into it. He says, and God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? You guys, together, knit together with me, are the body of Christ. And us, knit together with believers in other churches in our area, are the body of Christ. We are one body. We are supposed to be in unity. And man, I'm so blessed by the unity in our church. Not that we don't have struggles, but I think God blesses us because of our unity, and we have to fight to keep that unity. And we've seen over the last year the unity in churches around us, having nights of prayer. For example, we went down to Oakwood Baptist Church this week. They blessed the churches around the community. They have a new children's building. And so they said, hey, you can come into our children's building and get whatever you want to out of it. And so they emailed it to all these different churches. And I remember it was really funny. We're driving down there. It's John Partain and me and Carrie Summers and her son Andrew. And John then's driving. We got a trailer in the back, and we're thinking, where are we even going to be able to fit anything in the trailer? Like, we don't know how much stuff is there. And on the way, we're just kind of joking, like, so how Christian are we going to be? Because we need a lot of stuff for the building, you know? And we're just joking, like, all right, so we need children's chairs. So if there's a stack and you see someone going for it, I'll take them out. You go grab them and go, you know? We're just, like, joking around with strategies and, like all this kind of stuff. And, you know, so we get there. And we pull up, and it's about 10 till, 12 till 1. And we pull up, and there's people carrying stuff out. We're like, oh, they open early. Hurry. You're like, and you're just in this weird rat race of, like, getting free stuff for church with other church people. It's just this weird race mixture of emotions, right? And so we just pull up there, and we're like, whew, we're going in, and we're just carrying stuff out. And man, it was actually just a really great time. I mean, it was really glorifying to the Lord. They had tons and tons of stuff, which probably made it more glorifying that they had lots of stuff. But I mean, I remember John Bertin was a beast, by the way. And so, you know, because you get there, if you spend two people on one table, there's another table sitting there for 5 minutes, right? So we're just like, whoa, right? Beast them up. And so John comes out with this table. I'm like, yeah, John. And he walks to another church's trailer. John, what? You know, and it's like, oh, because my competitive mode just fired up in there. But it was great. But then as we got, we got so much incredible stuff. It was a blessing from the Lord. It's one of those things that, you know, we talk about raising money. The Lord raises money for us. We got probably $1,000 worth of children's equipment. We got 70 little chairs. We got tables for all the rooms. I mean, it's just an incredible blessing. But I figured out something when we got home. I thought, man, I think I've been conned. In 1 hour, we moved everything out of their building. In less than 1 hour, we took stuff off the walls. I mean, we took down bulletin boards and whiteboards. And they took out cabinetry. The whole place just boom, gone. Brilliant. I mean, they could go in and start vacuuming and setting up for adult Sunday school. It was crazy. I was like, that was amazing. They're so smart. But we were blessed. We were blessed by it. But I tell you what, if we didn't have physical bodies to be able to do that, right, we would have been limited on the blessings that we got from there. We would have been blessed, but we wouldn't have been blessed like we could have because of the physicalness of our bodies, being able to glorify God through the bodies and the strength that he gave us to do that. We need to be ready to obey the Lord in all these ways physically. Remember, we were created with a body, soul, and a spirit. Our body is part of what we need to use for glorifying Christ. So we're all the body of Christ. We're all this one body. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? How long would I last if I brought prostitutes to Refuge Youth Group? Not very long. Like there's something eerily wrong with that. And there's something that gets this quiet in the crowd going like, did he say that word in church? Right? There's something wrong with that word. But this is the picture that Christ is giving us through Paul. Is saying, look, when you choose to leave your love for something else, you are uniting yourself with a prostitute. You are prostituting yourself out with other things. And guys, we don't picture that. You see, we picture God as being our love up in heaven when we need him. And when we don't need him, he doesn't care what we do. You know what that is? That's atheism. We dismiss God most of the week until we need God. So we have this fight between, well, I need God, but now I don't believe in him. Think about it. Think about times when maybe you've gotten on the internet and you're clicking on something that maybe you shouldn't click on. And you maybe look to your left or your right and you look behind you. Have you ever thought of looking up? No, because you don't really care about what's up there. Have you ever thought about looking in here? No, we don't want to get caught. How about this? You've been speeding around that corner in your car. What do you look for? God to show up in his glory? No, you look for those little lights on top of a car. You look for the grill to see if it looks like one of those new cops that doesn't have them on there. You look for someone that's going to catch you in your sin instead of looking to the one who loves us. Why do we not get this picture that Jesus loves us like a husband loves a wife? He wants this intimacy with us. My marriage would not be very good if I was only married on Saturday and Sunday and I met with prostitutes throughout the rest of the week. That would be bad for my marriage. I didn't get an amen from the back where my wife is, so that's good, right? That would be bad. That would ruin my life. I wouldn't have a job here if I spent my time with prostitutes, maybe witnessing to them, but doing other things with them not so good. You see, we don't realize that God is like our husband. He is our love. Why do we choose these other things and think that they're okay? Why do we choose to chase money? Choose to chase power? Choose fame and stature? Why do we choose those things over our living God that loves us and breathes life into us? Why do our lungs work right? Had you anything to do with that? Or is it because God blessed us with that? Our love loves us. We need to respond to him in the same way. And I'm sorry if you have to explain to your kids what that word means. But maybe it'll be a good conversation about the Lord. Look at the next verse. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. We are unified with Christ, not with the world. We are in unity with him. He is our love. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexual immorality, immoral person, sins against his own body. You know, I don't know about you guys, but when you sin against your body, it leaves scars. You know, the world that we live in now, people struggle with things like cutting. It's a real issue we struggle with in the church and with youth, where people take out their frustration, their pain by cutting themselves, and it leaves scars. And guess what? Every time you look at those scars, you remember the depression and the pain that you went through. If you sinned sexually when you're younger, you remember that physical sin that you created, and it creates this scar inside of you that's so hard to let go of. That's why I preach purity to these guys so much. You don't understand how long the mistakes that you make now last with you. How Satan throws them back in your face like you're not good enough. Do you remember what you did here and you did here? You're a horrible person. You aborted that baby. You're a terrible person. You can't be loved by God. And he throws those sins in our face, and it's a lie. Because God loves us and he forgives us. And just like the book of Hosea, he takes us back and he chases after and he loves us constantly. Guys, we have to control how we sin with our body. We don't want to sin that way. It leaves scars. And those scars are so hard to forget. You have to continually give them to the Lord and let his grace wash over you. We have to start realizing that the things that we do with our body affect our spiritual life. The way that we treat other people with our body People in here struggle with abuse. They struggle with sexual abuse. They struggle with all these issues that are real. These are real issues that we talk about all the time. And they scar people. Guys, we need the love of Jesus Christ. We need the love of God. We need to be reaching out to one another for a safe place to minister and to love on people and say, no, you are good enough. Your body was made with a purpose to glorify God. And no one can take that purpose away from you. We have the love of Christ to wash over us. He keeps going. It gets even better and even deeper. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? It doesn't matter what's happened to your body. When you have the Holy Spirit, he comes in and he dwells with you. And Satan is going to attack that temple. He's going to attack that fortress that you have. But you have to give that, give the Holy Spirit a place to live where he can rise up in you and use your body for his purposes. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. You are not your own. Jesus Christ bought you with a price. Man, what an incredible verse. Just the fact that God would love us enough to buy us. What a thought. You know, just this last week, Tyler had a birthday, and we went out and got a basketball goal for him. So we went out and got this new goal. He loves basketball. It's like his main sport. And so I'm out there. I'm not a very handy man. And so putting it all together with my mismatch of tools probably took twice as long because I'm not organized and not handy in all those ways. And so we got it out there about 4 or 5 minutes into shooting around. He notices it's not very level. And so I'd gone in the house by that time because I was just worn out because, you know, fat taxes. So I went inside. And so Tyler decided he was going to level the goal. So he was going to, it wasn't very level. It was kind of off. So he was going to dig it out a little bit. So he went and he got this mattock, this pickaxe, you know, which we have kind of new, bought through someone else because they, anyway, long story. So we have this pickaxe. And so he went out there and so he's going to dig it out. Well, I don't know if you know much about basketball goals, but the standing up ones, they have plastic that you put water in them to keep them from falling over. Well, plastic with water in it and pickaxes, they don't work well together. And so one chop, a little bit too aggressive, boom, leak. And man, it was devastating. It's the first day, like I'm minutes into playing my goal and I just ruined it. And so, you know, I watched Mythbusters, duct tape boats, you know, duct tape does anything. And so went out there, you know, worked on it, duct tape. There you go. Little ghetto orange duct tape on there, all we had, but you know, it's good, right? So when we go out and we start playing and, you know, everything's going good. Comes in about an hour later, like this. I'm like, what happened? I cracked our backboard. I'm like, oh, what? The whole thing? No, just at the bottom. You know, we were hanging on it, dunking, and, you know, he forgets that he's a man now. He's becoming the man. And I, so it's got these little cracks and little edges. And I'm like, God, like we here, like, 4 hours into owning a goal and it's already got a hole in the bottom. And we're kind of, it's okay, it's okay. We're not going to duct tape that because that's really ghetto, you know. Maybe we'll just sand it, put clear tape or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out, right? And so we go on, we play, and we love it. We played a couple days. About 4 or 5 days go by, and we don't realize that the duct tape really isn't that great at holding that water. And so it's been slowly leaking, but not so much that you could notice this big puddle, but just kind of slowly leaking. And the winds came. I don't know if you remember earlier this week, the winds came. Ka-poosh, right? So my once round basketball hoop is now oblong, kind of like those ones that you see at Fiesta Texas when you try to win the prize and you never can make it. Right? You finally go on the side, you're like, something's not right about that. That's what our goal looked like, right? And it's just like the third thing, like the trinity of terribleness that just happened to our basketball goal, right? So, you know, being the rescuing dad, I'm like, all right. So I strap it to my bumper in a tree, and I'm trying to pull the rim out, break the strap off. You know, by the way, car jack. Get in there, and crank it up. It works, you know. You need a little bit of wood to help you. But finally got it to sort of roundish with a little flat edge on the top, right? Got it back to close. But, man, that's how we wreck our lives with our bodies so many times, isn't it? It's just the little things. Like just a little hole just leaking a little bit of water. Nobody else around me really notices my sin in that area. It's not that big a deal until the winds come. Like, I don't know about you guys, when I was coaching, I was around a lot of people whose mouths were not really glorifying to the Lord. And so when I was around them, I'd hear all these cuss words. And so when I would get in a situation, I would hear cuss words in my mind. I would think them. Now, I have good enough filters that I'm quick enough thinking that I didn't actually say them. You know, you stub your toe because you're always barefoot, right? And I, whoa, instead of some other words that were in my head because of football. It's amazing. My job now, I don't have all those cuss words in my head. Thanks, you know. But back in then, I would have those filters, right? But every once in a while, if you weren't careful, that filter would just bust. See, those little things that just keep leaking in, we don't realize how much they affect. I've been amazed at how much, once I've been out of coaching, those words that I once thought don't go through my mind. That hate, and when I want to just cuss somebody out because I watched this coach do that one time, that stuff doesn't go through my mind as much. I'm more apt to want to pray for them or love them because of the people that I hang around and the people that I watch and people that I imitate, right? But we have those slow leaks, and all of a sudden we see this crash, and we don't realize the crash would never happen if the slow leak wouldn't have been there. And our bodies are the same way. We have to control the things that are coming in and out of our body, both food, mentally, those different things that we subject ourselves to in there. But what's so incredible is that we were bought by a price. See, Tyler said, well, why can't I just take it back? We got 30 days, money back. And I'm thinking, I don't know if it covers pickaxe to plastic. And you know that sign that says don't hang on the rim right by the broken glass part? That might be a clue. Or, you know, if the wind knocked it over. I don't think it covers those kind of things. We just have to go ahead and do the best that we can to put it back into shape. And that's what we have to do with the physical things in our life, isn't it? We have to say, well, I just need to go ahead and put them back into shape, work it out. I have to do best I can. Fat tax, I can pray all I want to lose weight, but if I keep going to Double Dave's buffet, I'm not going to lose weight. Even if I pray, Lord, don't let this pizza cause fat to grow on me. I don't think fat grows, but anyway, that's another thing. Sounds like a, anyway. If I keep disobeying with my body, it doesn't matter how my spiritual life is, I'm still going to have $80 a month taken out of my account because I have too much weight. I have to choose not to eat the delicious goodies sitting right beside me when I'm doing the slides. I have to choose. There's got to be something greater than the immediate thing that's in front of me. Why don't I not date other people? Because I love her more than any other person. I don't want to date anyone else, right? It's not that I can't, it's that I don't want to. We need to love the Lord so much that these other things we don't really want to do because we love him so much because he bought us with a price. He gave his life up for us as a ransom. Now, what does that mean? Let me be practical with you. Men, you guys have got to pay the price. I'm included. We've got to learn as men of God to pay the price for our wives and our kid and our church and the different people around us. We have to learn to pay the price, to sacrifice what needs to be done to get it done. Now, I live with an incredible woman, and I know that if I set down my plate after dinner for about 3 minutes, then my amazing multitasking wife will have it in the dishwasher. I know. If I'm just like lazy, walking kind of slow to pick up dinner stuff, phew, she's gone, dishes done, or she's got a kid doing the dishes. Yeah, easy life, easy road, right? As a man, am I supposed to take the easy road? No. Shouldn't I be the one serving her, just as Christ served the church? Shouldn't I be the one going out serving my kids? Man, we got to step up. I've got to love my boys like Christ loved the church. I've got to go out there. I've got to teach them how to be a man. I'm going to go wrestle with them and hug them. I'm going to go push them down, pick them up, love them, hug them, right? We're going to have a blast. We're going to play football. We're going to play back. Anything they want to do, let's go do it. Dads, we got to date our daughters. We got to spend time in their life. We got to spend time with them. Show them this is what a godly man acts like. A godly man opens up doors for you. A godly man turns his conversation to the scriptures. A godly man does these things. He speaks truth in your life. Men, where are they going to get that example from? The world? Kidding me? They're going to get it from us being the men of God. I mean, I remember Shelby was 8 years old. And she's like, Daddy, can I marry you? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm married already, but yes, I wish so. It's just like the sweetest, like, oh, you know, Karis, you would say that, right? Right? Just like, oh, it's like so. That's what we want. We want our daughters to have an example of Christ or a godly man to follow. We want them to pick men that are godly, not just pick the cutest face or what's on the magazine or anything else like that. Man, we've got to step up. Teach our men how to be men. Show them how to get into the word. Show them what it means to hug and kiss your kids. To hug Tyler in the back while we're doing prayer time. To hug them, to love them, to be with them. Teaching them how to be that way. Teaching them how to serve. Teaching those things. Men, we got to step up. Women, let yourselves be ransomed. Let yourself be shown to be worthy of someone rescuing you. If your bodies were made for a purpose, they were made the right size, shape, with the right way. God created you perfect the way that he wants you to be. And so many times in our world, women believe the lies that the world throws at them, that you got to look this way, you got to look that way, you got to act like this, you got to do this to get a man's attention. God has made you perfect. Don't believe that lie. You were bought with a price. He went into the store and he said, I want that one. I love her. I love him. They'd be good together. He went, hey, I love that guy right there, especially the little guy on his shoulder. I love him. I choose him. We're not clearance items. God doesn't go clearance shopping. We're not the best thing on sale. Right? He doesn't pick us because of our color or the beauty that we have. He picks us because he loves us. He just goes and says, I love you. I want you to be mine. How good is a God that does that? That loves us and chooses us. He doesn't say, I'm going to pick you if you can run this far or if you're this size or that. Don't believe the lies of the world, women. You are beautiful in God's sight. Read Proverbs 31. That's a godly woman. That's who we need to pattern. And guys, these people over here, they watch you. My daughters watch you guys. Be that example for them. Confident in who you are and how God made you. And you know what, kids? And us included as children of God, we need to flee from sexual immorality. We need to run away from these things that are just so prevalent in our society. We just need to get out. We can't sit there and think, well, this stuff doesn't affect me. I mean, it does affect us. Flee sexual immorality. Where do we flee to? We flee to him. The almighty, all-powerful, author and perfecter of our faith. That's who we run to. The one who breathes life into us. That's who we run to. Don't run to the things of the world. Because those things disappoint. I know you guys have lived as long as I have. Those things disappoint. Only God comes through, always. Do we really believe that song? That he comes through always. And remember, not always like we want it to be, is it? But he comes through in his plan and his purpose and his will to be done. So guys, honor God with your body. I'm learning. You can pray for me. I love Dr. Pepper. I love food. And it's hard to choose not to do certain things. But man, God is teaching me, you need to honor God. I want to be a youth minister for a long time. And I said, man, when I can't run around and play dodgeball and frisbee with them, I'm not going to be a youth minister anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'll tell you what, there's a few times we're playing dodgeball where I'm like, oh, trying to get that ball. That's bad. If you bend down this slow in dodgeball, that's really bad. Okay, I'm just telling you. Right? And I'm thinking, man, how did I let myself get that way? It was just a slow leak. We got to look at our lives, examine our lives. Where are we leaking? Where do we need to fix it? Don't fix it with duct tape, right? It doesn't really work very well. Self-helps and all that stuff. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Creator. See, if I took this and I said, hey, to someone who could craft it and make it the way that it was new, and he fixed it, it wouldn't have a leak anymore. I tried to do it on my own power. Didn't work. Still hasn't worked. Take your problems to the God that can fix them. That's my prayer. Okay, let's pray. Lord, without you, we're nothing. Without you, Lord, we have no hope. We're just drifting in the waves, tossed to and fro by the things of this world. But Lord, in you, we have hope. And Lord, I pray that today you will forgive me for the times that I've sold myself out to cheap love in this world and not loved you like I should. I pray for forgiveness, Lord. I repent of those sins that I've chased after fame or popularity or these other things, Lord, that I just felt like I want, Lord, and didn't chase after you. Lord, I pray that you'll make me new. You'll enable me to chase after you, to have intimate relationship with you, to be one with you, unified with you, Lord. I pray that for our church that we'll be unified to your will in all circumstances, Lord, not trusting on our own power or strength. And Lord, I thank you for the body that you've given me. Thank you for the opportunity to use this body to glorify you. So many times, Lord, I forget that I need to be honoring you with that. So Lord, I pray that you'll help me to honor you with that. Pray that you'll help us to learn more about your word, to press into you and learn more about you. Lord, we are so thankful for your son, Jesus Christ, who bought us with his own blood and covered our sins. Thank you so much, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.